Taking that very first step down a career path can be daunting, just like stepping into the world completely unknown. On the flip side, if you've been walking on that road a long time, chances are you've learned a thing or two. Today on Stateside, we continue our series, Work in Progress, a series of conversations between two people at opposite ends of the same career path. Today, just in time for all of those end-of-the-year performances, we're turning the spotlight on two symphony conductors. Chelsea Gallo is a graduate student in conducting at the University of Michigan, and Leonard Slatkin is the music director of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. Slatkin begins the conversation by recalling the time that he first learned that he wanted to be a music conductor.
One day I was playing viola in a youth orchestra, and the music director was called away to the phone. And he looked down at me and says, you want to conduct? I said, well, maybe. And he threw down the score of The Marriage of Figaro at me. He was called away to the phone, and all of a sudden I got up and I conducted. And I really went, actually this feels pretty good. I can do this. And then from that, in high school, I started arranging music for the musicals and started conducting those. And then after a while, I thought, I think of all the things I do in music, this is the one I could do the best.
When you started out conducting, you started around 19 years old, being serious about conducting. I'm guessing then, when you got serious about it, you had an idea of what success meant, and now maybe it's a little bit different.
That's a very interesting observation. I grew up surrounded by music.
Your father was a conductor, right?
My father was a conductor and a violinist. My mother was a cellist. My uncle was a pianist. They played in the studios in Hollywood. They were part of one of the great string quartets of all time. And they were prominent in the popular music industry in L.A. And because I was constantly exposed to people who would be called celebrities within their profession, I never thought about what defined success. Because that's all I met, were people who had done well.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole life, I've never really used that word very often. Because success, to me, only defines what you believe you may or may not have achieved. If I had to look at a recent example and I defined the 10 years that I've been here in Detroit, I would look back on it and say it has been mostly successful. Leaving aside the musical values, which only I can know if I think I've succeeded at something. Most of the time I don't think so, but I try my best.
Mm-hmm.
But I can look and say this institution is stronger during the time I've been here. And when I had great partnerships in administration, that became critical. We cannot do this alone.
Right.
You can't just stand up in front of an orchestra and be the great gift of the musical gods. You need the partners to do that with. So you're going to be seeing a lot of orchestras over these next few years that you've never worked with, I hope, and some that you have. What do you think the difference is going to be?
The thing that's going to be different is me. I'll probably have more doubts and be more self-conscious going to an orchestra that I don't know versus one where I have an established relationship. When you go to an orchestra that you don't know, the only way to be able to influence them is through having a relationship. And so that initial moment where you have the chance to establish a relationship with them through your conducting, that's the scariest moment for me.
I actually felt almost the opposite.
Really? Okay.
Yep. I felt if I went into an orchestra that I didn't know, but I had command of the repertoire, that it would be pretty easy. But if I went to an orchestra that knew the repertoire far better than I did, what was I going to say to them? What was I going to do?
A lot of it comes down to psychology, too.
Like partially.
Your personal psychology and then the relationship with them.
I wouldn't overthink it, though. I really wouldn't. And times have changed. The era of the conductor as autocrat, dictator, those days are over. That doesn't happen. You're not that kind of person anyway. And because you came from an instrumental background, automatically that gives you some degree of influence. And it's okay, perfectly okay, when you introduce yourself to the orchestra, or somebody will introduce you, you say, good morning, everybody, it's very nice to meet you, I'm thrilled to be here, I live in such and such place, and before I became a conductor, I was a violinist. That helps. So you've broken down a barrier immediately. You're one of them. Out of, say it was a 100-piece orchestra, you're just the 101st musician. But somebody has to say how it's going to go,
mm-hmm.
like the coach of a football team or whatever it is. Once the concert happens, you're not as in control as you were at the rehearsals. Not really. The rehearsals where you get to establish your identity. The concert, you just go out there and have a good time. Concert's the easiest part of the whole process. It really is. Before we wrap this up, the 21st century and our time has seen a really interesting evolution in how we perceive musicians and virtually anybody in the performing arts. So here we are at a time when the opportunities for women in music have opened up. Perhaps not as much as everybody would like, but certainly far better than it was even 10 years ago. At this point in time, as we're talking, being a woman is not a barrier anymore for most people, but it's still a bit of an uphill climb. Have you felt yet any pressure to be better because of that?
Yes. I've never felt by my colleagues or by an orchestra that I wasn't given the same respect or same chance as any other visiting conductor or person in their presence, but there's definitely an aspect of we need to do better, because while 95% of the conductors are men, if some of them aren't great, that doesn't affect the entire perception of the male conductor. If even some of us are out there and we're not excelling and not achieving and not doing the best we can, it'd be so easy for us to slide down the slope of, oh, well, you know, women conductors, they're a novelty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to achieve at a higher level because we have a smaller group that has to, you know, does that make sense?
It does. I think this has to actually start at a level that goes before professional.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to find ways to encourage more women, more people of minorities, to get involved in music at an earlier age.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think people like you, who potentially can become role models, somebody who succeeds and somebody looks and says, oh, wow, if she can do that, maybe I can do that. So I want to wish you really the very best. I'm going to keep tabs on you, because maybe 5 years from now, I'll check in with you again. If at age 79 I'm able to speak coherently, and see where you are.
Okay.
See what happens. See if, from what we've talked about today, how you've progressed. Best of luck to you, Chelsea.
Thank you, Maestro Slatkin.